Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm so glad that you're here with us tonight and we're able to join us. I'm your host, Susan Knowles at SusanKnowles.com. I hope everyone is well and I hope that everyone had a fantastic week. There's a lot that's been happening in the news with ISIS and the Second Amendment. And my guest is going to be talking about these two subjects and a whole lot more tonight. We only have a short hour, so we really do need to get started. I want you to feel free to call in with questions. That number to call is 347-205-9620, and you can ask Jan, our guest, a lot of questions, anything that you have in mind. Let me go ahead and let me introduce her really quickly. Jan is a nationally recognized Second Amendment advocate and speaker, an NRA-certified firearms instructor, an NRA-certified range safety officer, state-certified concealed carry instructor, founder of Armed American Women, a national firearms training program for women, and owner of the Gun Cave Indoor Firing Range in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Her Armed American Women firearms training program has 100% accident-free gun safety record and proven record of success with students across the country. She's also an Associated Press award-winning investigative journalist, owner, editor, at janmorganmedia.com. She's an independent conservative, closely aligned with the Republican Tea Party, Libertarian, and other conservative-based organizations nationally as well, and is sought after keynote speaker for those organizations. During her 27 years as a television anchor and reporter, Jan's work won Associated Press Awards in the Spot News documentary and Best Continuing Coverage, Jan's most recent work that is gaining national exposure is her investigative documentary, Rampant Injustice, and many, many articles. So without further ado, let's welcome, oh gosh, I lost her. I guess we can't welcome her. I hope that she calls back. I don't know what happened with her call, but she dropped that call. So hopefully she will call back in a second. While we're waiting, let me go on and tell a little bit more about what she does. Her article is AR-15 is not an assault rifle. She's generated a firestorm in responses when featured on the Daily Caller. And here she is back again. Jan Morgan, welcome back.
Hi, Susan. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Great. We're so glad that you could join us. I was just singing your praises and telling everybody everything that you've done, but I think it's better just to bring you on and start talking with you because I know we have a lot to cover and I want to get started on that. Let's talk about what's been going on and your feelings in regards to, I know you wrote an article at one point called The Muslim Free Zone. Tell me all about that.
That article generated, it provoked a liberal meltdown and an international firestorm when all I simply wanted to do was state that I wanted my range, my gun range, my indoor firing range, to be a Muslim-free zone. And I clearly outlined 10 reasons that I came to that conclusion. I was very concise. If the listeners haven't had a chance to read that, I urge you to go to janmorganmedia.com and just do a search under original content articles under my name, and you'll find that one as well as a number of others on the Islamization of our country. But basically, I own an indoor shooting range. I'm responsible for the safety and security of the people who are members here, who shoot here. This is a private club, so I'm not subject to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It is a membership-only shooting range, and we have a right to determine who can and cannot shoot here based on a number of factors. And I studied the Quran for 12 years. After 9/11, I wanted to understand who these people were and why they did what they did. And after 12 years of studying and numerous death threats from Muslims based on the information I was putting out on my website and social media regarding the Islamization of this country, all of it fact-based, no hate speech, I came to the conclusion that allowing people who align themselves with a theocracy / ideology that holy book dictates 109 times in their Quran, 109 times to hate, murder, and terrorize all human beings who refuse to submit or convert to Islam. My decision is, if you align yourself with that ideology and that theocracy, that religion, whatever you want to call it, then I can't allow you to handle lethal weapons next to people that you are commanded to hate and murder. It's a safety and security issue, bottom line, with me.
Now, you in all that you studied and learned about Islam, what did you come across as far as, like, let's say, the number of training camps that they have here in the United States?
You know, if you do any research at all, it doesn't take much to find out what is really going on in this country regarding the Islamization of the United States of America. On Fox News, there was a documentary on Sean Hannity's show. It was produced by the Christian Action Network. They actually infiltrated and documented 35 Islamic terror training camps on American soil. You can go to YouTube, type in Islamic terror training camps on American soil. You can find the documentary. They showed exactly where they were located and what they discovered in each one. So, you know, and then, of course, tonight, Susan, if you were watching the news tonight, just today, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security is issuing a warning to Americans that we have people in this country, once again, that are aiding or joining ISIS. There was a teen in Virginia who was arrested for aiding ISIS and for helping them recruit militant combatant people who want to support ISIS in America. And then you've got a guy from Ohio, also on national news tonight, who is a Muslim, who says he wants to kill the president. He wants to kill people in Congress. And he says, yes, there are Muslim sleeper cells, terrorist sleeper cells all over the United States of America, and they're simply waiting for the opportunity and the command to act. So that's on the networks tonight. that's not Jan Morgan saying it. That's on the networks. Then we had the beheading in Oklahoma. We had 3,000 people killed at 9/11. We have Muslims with Hamas who want to kill innocent people. We have Muslims with Al-Qaeda who want to kill and have killed innocent people. We have Muslims with ISIS who want to kill and have killed innocent people. What more do you need? If you're handling lethal weapons, which is the business that I'm in, this is not a coffee
right.
donut shop. Even
right.
our own federal government through ATF gives federal firearms license facilities permission and actually a directive that if you, for any reason, even if someone passes a background check, if you suspect that someone who's wanting to handle lethal weapons in your facility or wants to buy a firearm from you, if you suspect in your gut that they might use this firearm in the commission of a crime, then you don't even have to explain why. You simply, they want you to err on the side of caution. That's the directive from ATF. Err on the side of caution, stop the transaction. I think if I were any other business in this country, I would probably be under indictment by the Justice Department simply because I've made the decision I've made. But because we're dealing with lethal weapons, not coffee and donuts, not, you know, this is a different kind of situation that we're involved in. And why am I going to hand a loaded gun to someone who wants to kill me? I had two Muslims walk into my facility. They've got Allah Akbar ringtones on their phone. They can't hardly speak English. They're speaking Arabic. They wanted to rent guns, and they wanted me to train them, Susan. They
wow.
wanted me to train
wow.
them. And that's what finally prompted the article. You know, all that's happened, and then, you know, back just before I wrote the article, back in October, those two guys walked in. I've had death threats repeatedly from Muslims for the past 5 years from all over the world. So my position is, first of all, you have to be a member to shoot here. You have to fill out an application. Secondly, you have to have a valid state-issue photo ID in order to be a member here. You have to be an Arkansas resident or a resident of some state, and you have to have a photo ID. Well, one of them had a non-resident, non-U.S. citizen ID from California. The other one had no ID. So you can imagine how I felt. The people who were here
yeah.
in my lobby would not even go in and shoot when the guys were here. One of them that had a non-resident ID, I did let him shoot, but the entire time he was here, I refused to train him, and I could not wait for him to leave. And that's when I decided I should not have to, and no other members of this place should have to put up with this. So, you know, you got Allah Akbar ringtones on your phone. You're acting suspicious. You're looking around at the cameras at this facility, the security cameras, and you're acting and speaking in Arabic to each other. That's a pretty good reason for me to say, you know what, we're not going to do that here.
Well, and not only that, it's like you said, you know, the patrons that are there at the firing range, they have somebody who comes in, they don't know who they are, they're trusting you to look at this person
exactly.
and you know, pass judgment, if you will, I guess, on their abilities. And how do you know it's not going to turn out like a Chris Kyle situation where somebody turns
exactly.
a weapon on somebody else? And, you have to make those decisions. But
and Susan,
I'm
screened on a number of criteria. I mean, we look for, if you walk into this facility and you are behaving in a way that it gives you the appearance of being under the influence of alcohol or drugs, I'm not going to let you shoot here. And
right.
if you're already a member, I'm going to revoke your membership. And here's the bottom line. When I refused to train those two guys that walked in this facility, if those flight instructors that trained those terrorists who killed 3,000 people, who flew our planes into the World Trade Center, if those flight instructors had been as discerning as I was and as I am, we would probably have 3,000 alive Americans today. Because
mm-hmm.
there were red flags, and you go back and you look at the interviews with those flight instructors, and they said, different ones, they talked about the red flags that kept popping up, but they went ahead and trained them anyway, whether it's for political correctness or whatever their reasons, I don't know. They have to live with that, and I can live with the decision that I've made.
Well, and it's like our administration today wants us to put aside, you know, all common sense because of political correctness, and that's
right.
and that's what's going to kill us by doing
political
that.
Political correctness is destroying this country. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you did the right thing on that.
The bottom line is, it doesn't even care. For example, which has ties with Hamas. I wrote an article about that too. But CARE, which is their National Muslim Relations Organization, they asked the Justice Department to investigate me, to do something about me because of this step that I've taken. The ACLU asked the Justice Department to investigate me and do something about what I've done. And the bottom line is, I have said I will close this facility, I will close my doors and shut this business down before I will compromise the safety and security of the people who shoot here. There are parents who bring their kids here to shoot, to train. This has to be a safe, secure environment. And if the people who come here don't feel safe and secure, and if I don't feel like I can provide that for them, then I'm not going to give them a place to shoot. I'll just close the doors and lock up.
Yeah, and probably that's why they left you alone, because if they can't make a big deal out of something, why bother, right? You know, if you can't get it out there in the public eye, if you just close down the place, it's like, oh, well, okay, let's move on to the next person that we can harass and see what we can get out of them.
You know, the other thing is, and I was attacked by the liberal left, of course, and I was attacked by Muslims because of my decision. It became a, you know, I got death threats over it. The FBI contacted me. The counterterrorism unit of the FBI called me on my cell phone. The agent, you know, called me on my cell phone and said, we need to meet with you. And my husband and I met with him in the law enforcement agency and here in this area, and they alerted me that the article I wrote has gone viral. Your name, Jan, and your picture and your address is all over the world. It's on Islamic websites in Cairo, Egypt, for goodness sakes. You need to understand that you're probably going to become a target of ISIS, a target of opportunity. ISIS is in your home state where they've already targeted a soldier's son, one of our soldier's sons, who's dropping bombs on ISIS targets in Syria. So they basically wanted to meet with me to make sure I understood that we have security issues now and that I needed to prepare for that, because they basically said, you know, we can't protect you constantly. They're monitoring chatter and that sort of thing. But you know, Susan, I told them, I said, if you've been in my stuff, which I'm sure you've been all over my social media pages and in my email and in my text messages and in my phone, then you know I've been getting death threats for some time. Many of them I have forwarded to you from Muslims. So the death threats are not new. And I refuse to live my life in fear and back down from truth simply because of threats. That's what they want. That's why it's called terrorism. They want to terrorize. And I, you know, this is America. And I would rather die free than live a slave to any government, to any terrorist organization, or any religion, any theocracy, period. And so when I wrote the article, I said, okay. And when I got death threats as a result of that article, I posted another article, death threats as a result of this article. Here's a screenshot of the death threats. Okay, here I am. Here's my address. Here's where I am. Bring it. I'm waiting for you.
Right.
Come on.
And how does, you know, after all of this, you know, your death threats and everything that's happened and the FBI coming and saying, you know, these people are, they may threaten your life and you're a target, on and on and on. And then we have the president of the United States who won't even say Islam, that it's associated in any way with Islam. How does that make you feel?
outraged. I have been, you have to understand, I knew who Barack Obama was when he ran for office the first time. The first time I ever saw him on stage at the Democratic National Convention before he even ran for president, I started doing my research because I was concerned about what I just had a feeling. It's like, who's this guy? He's appeared from out of nowhere. I did my research and I started trying to educate people on who he was at that point. We have a lot of problems in America, and our country is in serious trouble. I am encouraged, however, in spite of this administration, Susan, the encouraging thing is that people are waking up. I really believe that. And I base that on this. For years now, I've been posting information on Islam, for example. Truth. I don't post hate speech. I've been posting truth about Islam and the Islamization of this country and the threat of civilization jihad. You know, so many Americans are wrapped up in, oh, my gosh, you know, we got to prevent the next terror, physical act of terror on American soil. And, yes, we do. But the greater threat to America is civilization jihad, and that is the systematic infiltration and destruction of America from within using our own system against us. The infiltration of every branch of government, which has already happened and is continuing to happen. The forced Sharia law on communities and states. We're seeing that in state after state is having to step up now and pass laws saying, we're not going to operate under any other law in this state other than constitutional law. Well, how ridiculous is that? But anyway,
exactly.
To make a long story short, when I started posting on Islam years ago, people were terrified to comment political correctness. They were afraid of losing their job. They were afraid of saying anything. They would private message me and say, you know, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you 100%, but I can't click like and I can't really, say anything on your page because it'll get me in trouble with my job or I've got too many friends that wouldn't understand. Now, when I post truth about the Islamization of this country or about Islam, people are standing up and they're saying, you know what, you're right. You're right. I agree with you. We've got to do something. And I'm seeing more people get educated. Instead of just being a follower, they're not only getting educated, but they're standing up and speaking out. And that's the beginning of change and transformation and turning this sinking ship around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it starts coming right here on our own soil, that's when people start to say, whoa, wait a minute, there is a problem. Because, you know, like you said in the beginning, Oklahoma, you know, we've had the Boston bombings, Boston Marathon bombing. You know, that's real. When it's overseas someplace, it's not as real. But when it's coming here, it's time to look at it, see what it is, and try to do something about it. And, you know, of all places, Texas. As a court there with Sharia law. I mean, who would have ever thought that would have happened?
And you're seeing that sort of civilization jihad is beginning to affect people through public schools, having special days off for Islamic religious holidays. And there are various things happening. That we have over 50 court cases in this country already where our judges have allowed Sharia law to trump constitutional law in cases involving Muslims. Well, that's an outrage, Susan.
You know, that is an outrage.
Why are we doing that for Islam? What are we going to do when the Man-Boy Love Club decides that they're going to have their own religion too, and their religion allows them for adults to molest little boys, and that's part of their religion, and therefore it should be accepted, and so they want to have their own law court too, and they don't want to be subject to constitutional law, which says that sexually assaulting a minor is a crime. We don't live by anything except constitutional law in this country. No judge should be listening to and deciding on any cases on the grounds of any other form of law other than constitutional law. And the fact that we even have these other courts appearing around the country, Sharia law courts, that's outrageous to me.
It is outrageous. And, you know, if the courts aren't going to act and do the proper thing, then, you know, I think the Congress has is mandated to act. But, you know, as we know right now, Congress isn't doing too much.
No, Congress is doing nothing. And that's very frustrating because we elected Republicans. We had Americans actually got up and got off their couches, conservatives did, and they voted people in who promised them that they would affect change. They get elected, and we see nothing. All we see are hearings, hearing after hearing after hearing of, you know, involving one scandal after another. And all they do is have hearings. There's no reaction to it, and it's a show, and people are sick of that.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a show. There's no penalty phase. It's just like you said, one hearing
absolutely
after another. And that doesn't
absolutely
do anybody any good.
And, you know, something else I really want to encourage people to do, you know, don't take my word for it. Do your homework. I know it takes time, but do your homework. The Muslim Brotherhood has a documented plan for the destruction of America from within. That plan was discovered by our own FBI during a raid of Muslim Brotherhood operatives. They found it, and it's the same system that they have used to overpower and take control of every country that they've decided to take control of. And then they use our own constitution and our own liberties against us in order to achieve this. And if you look at their documented plan, they're already halfway through it. They've already accomplished half of it. And people like Nani Darwish, who's an author, she's written several books. Cruel and Unusual Punishment is one of them. The Devil We Don't Know is another one. She was a Muslim for 30 years of her life. She fled Islam. She tells us in her books that we are making a grave mistake in America by focusing on physical acts of jihad when the most serious threat to our constitutional republic is civilization jihad, that we need to understand what it is and then stand up and act and stop it before it's too late. Former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy wrote a book called The Grand Jihad. It's a massive book. It's like 5 inches thick. But this is a very credible man who's saying the same thing that I'm saying. Gert Wilders has written, there are so many authors out there who have thoroughly researched and have put this information out there, and yet we still have network news anchors on TV saying, why are these Muslims doing this? Why are they killing innocent people? Why do they hate us? Well, those are not radical and extremist Muslims who are committing these barbaric acts of violence against innocent people. Those are devout Muslims. They are simply following the dictates of their Quran. And until these people in charge of delivering our news every night, if they would do their homework and read the Quran, then they would know that these, stop calling them radicals and extremists. Those are the devout ones. Those are the serious Muslims who are committing these crimes. I get so fed up. I've been watching Fox News. I listened to Greta Van Susteren tonight, and she asked the question, why are they doing this? Well, Greta, it's right there in the Quran, 109 dictates, right there.
Yeah, and it's sad to hear that, coming from Greta, you'd think that she would be more of an investigative reporter, that she would have done her homework on that. But, I think people are going to start having to wake up. It's going to require them to, because it's just moving closer and closer in, and people have to start realizing, there's a real problem here. And just because you play nice, they don't think the way you do, and they're not going to think the way you do, and there's nothing that you can do to change their minds. And I think, again, as we said in the beginning, political correctness will be the death of us all if we don't do something about that and get over it.
Name one country where Islam peacefully coexists with any other religion. Just
can't name
one. In America, you've got a very, very well-known Muslim, Dr. Zudi Jasser. You see him a lot on Fox. Now, there's a guy, I really believe that man has no evil, ill will toward innocent people, toward American citizens who are not Muslim. Dr. Jasser, if you look at his documentary, he produced a documentary called The Third Jihad. When 9/11 happened, here's a guy who had served his country honorably. He's a Muslim. He was raised a Muslim, but apparently, I guess he didn't read those verses in his Quran. Maybe his parents just raised him to believe that Islam is good and you take care of your fellow man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Dr. Jasser, even, you've seen him on Fox News lately. He's been on, and he's been trying to get other Muslims to take a stand in this country against against political Islam, which is the theocracy part of it. He said we've got to back away from that. He's trying to get Muslims to stand up and join him against the violence. And nobody's joined. There are like five or six, I think, that are on his immediate circle. But after 9/11, when he tried to get imams around the country to stand up and say, this is not Islam, let's have a big press conference, let's go before the world and say, no, this is not Islam. And not only would no one join him to make that statement, he was excommunicated. That's in his documentary.
Wow.
Don't take my word for it. Watch it, The Third Jihad. And the other thing, Susan, is, and if people would come to me and say, well, you're just a racist and a bigot. Well, first of all, Islam is not a race, and that's a ridiculous statement to make. People who are Muslim can be blonde hair, blue-eyed, and fair-skinned. It's not a race. So that's a false statement. No, I do not believe all Muslims are terrorists. However, since I have no way of discerning which Muslims are going to be peaceful, like Dr. Jasser, and which ones are going to follow through with those dictates in their Quran to be devout Muslims, since I don't know which ones are which, I'm going to err on the side of caution and say, if you are an adult, then I'm going to hold you accountable for the organizations and religions and things that you align yourself with. And if you're aligning yourself with Islam, then I'm going to believe that you've read that Quran. By gosh, I have. It's not even my religion. So if you say you're Muslim, I'm going to assume that you've read that book and that you still agree with all of that and you're aligning yourself with that. So I'm going to err on the side of caution, because I don't know if you're going to be devout or not and you want to kill people. I'm just going to say, you know what? If you choose that route, then I don't need you handling lethal weapons around people who are not Muslim. So I don't know what all the outrage is about. I simply am trying to protect and provide a safe environment for LSU is here.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about, let's move into the Second Amendment.
Okay.
Let's talk about the AR-15 controversy and the ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what President Obama is trying to do with that in regards to that and what your feelings are on the subject?
Barack Obama is part of a movement that has been underway for a long time to disarm the American people, in spite of what he says. You know, he will say, well, I'm not trying to disarm the American people. Yes, he is. If he had his way, no one would have guns except government entities that are under his control. And if they can't do anything about the guns, because they tried that. You know, he sent John Kerry to sign the Small Arms Treaty, the UN Small Arms Treaty. Kerry signed it. But the problem he ran into is, in order for it to be ratified, two-thirds of our Senate had to support it. Well, our Senate said not only no, but hell no. We're not going to do that. So as a result, he couldn't disarm the American. He couldn't allow the United Nations to have control over our gun rights in this country. And, you know, I got really angry at George W. Bush when he was president. He did some things that really made me angry, even though I voted for him twice. But
right.
At least George W. Bush had the guts to stand up to the UN when they said they started all of this UN small arms treaty thing, and he said, no, not only are we not going to sit down at the table and talk to you about gun rights, and we're not even going to send anyone to sit at the table to have this discussion, because we don't want an international body having any control or any say-so whatsoever over the citizens of this country and their right to defend life, their right to own firearms.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Obama knows, and all the anti-gun movement knows, they can't take our guns away from us. American people are not going to put up with that. So they're going after ammunition. That's the next route, and that's all this is. It's just another attempt, another way to create issues for gun people. I think they think if they just keep on and keep on and keep on, eventually we'll get tired of the fight. I think they really underestimated us.
I know, and I was going to say, in some parts of the country, I think it does work. You know, for example, in California, where I'm at, a lot mm-hmm. of people would look at that and say, you know what, that's so true. You know, nobody needs an AR-15 anyway, and they certainly don't need the ammunition. But that has nothing to do with them taking your gun rights away from you. So
well, there you go. The word needs is the critical word there. It's
right,
the last time
exactly.
I checked, it's not the Bill of Needs, it's the Bill of Rights. So
right.
It has nothing
absolutely.
To do with need.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had written an article one time, too. You were talking about Rick Perry, and
mm-hmm.
you said in your article that Rick Perry doesn't understand the Second Amendment. Why did you say that?
Here was and I've always been a supporter of Rick Perry, but he came out, he did an interview with the Texas Tribune, okay, and he made some
mm-hmm.
comments. He prefers concealed handguns for a more practical reason. That's his quote from him. He said, I don't want the bad guys to know I'm carrying. I don't want to be the first person shot if something's going down. Okay, there are a lot of people who don't like open carry, and they're more comfortable with concealed carry because they have this conception about what's best for them. But see, it's not their place to determine what's best for me. If you prefer to conceal carry your gun, that's your business. I'm not going to try to push
right.
my way on you, but my view is I want to open carry. I believe that it is a crime deterrent, especially for a woman to open carry. And I've been a speaker at Second Amendment rallies around the country in all of the states that are open carry. And you look at the way people are there who are open carrying, they don't have – it's a very common thing. And if you walk into a restaurant, you know, Rick Perry's position is, well, I don't want him to know I'm carrying. Well, if you walk in, if a bad guy walks into a restaurant with the intention of shooting up the place and killing a bunch of innocent people, if everybody in there is open carrying, or if even three-fourths of the people are open carrying, he's going to look at that and say, you know what, this is probably not a good place. Bad idea. Turn around and leave. So that's my position. But I got angry with him because something else he said that bothered me even more. He says, quote, that he's not necessarily all that fond of open carry concept, adding that those who carry guns, now understand, that's open carry or concealed carry, those who carry
right.
guns ought to be appropriately backgrounded, appropriately vetted, and appropriately trained. Well, you know, that's not what our Second Amendment says. When you start requiring, when you start saying, well, if you're going to carry a gun, you need to take this class, and you need to take that class, and you need to get a background check, and you need to – those are all forms of regulations or restrictions. And the Second Amendment is very clear. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Not the right of the people that the government deems mentally fit. It doesn't say the right of the people that pass background checks. It doesn't say the right of the people who have demonstrated exemplary marksmanship skills. Because, you see, our founding fathers understood something that too many gun owners, even today, don't get. And that is, once you allow the government an inch, the government takes a mile. And I, as a federal firearms license facility, I have watched the list increase of excuses why people will be denied a permit to carry a gun or denied the right to purchase a gun. That list is increasing. And it's a slippery slope. What are we going to do when the government says, and they're already, this is a person with ATF told me this is coming because of Obamacare. If you've ever been prescribed an antidepressant, then you might not be mentally stable, and therefore you should not be able to purchase or own a gun or carry a gun.
Right.
How many millions and millions of people? I've never been on an antidepressant, but I know a lot of people who have, and there's nothing wrong with them, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to defend their life, to own a gun to defend their life. What are we going to do when the government says, you know, if you've ever served in a combat situation in our military, you could have PTSD. Therefore,
exactly.
If you've ever served our country, you're going to have to come to a VA facility, you're going to have to be tested, and only if you pass that test that indicates there's no trace of PTSD, then you can get a concealed weapon permit, or then you can actually purchase a handgun. What are we going to do, Susan, when the government says, you know what, anybody who has publicly professed that they believe that this guy, Jesus Christ, actually died on the cross and then he rose again, those people can't possibly be mentally stable. Therefore, publicly professing Christians don't need to be carrying guns because those people are radical right-wing extremists.
And
the Department of Homeland Security's terrorist watch list, there are people like me who are a Christian, God-fearing, gun-toting, constitutional conservative who is actually speaking out against my government for trampling our Constitution.
Right.
That is the outline, according to the Department of Homeland Security, of a potential domestic terrorist, which is an outrage.
Right. Well, and you know, anybody is going to be put on that list, like the sovereign citizens list of people who are,
right.
You know, we've got to watch. Instead of terrorists, we're going to watch those people. And one of the things that you pointed out, too, when, you know, Rick Terry said they have to be appropriately trained, appropriately this, appropriately that, then, you know, as a former practicing attorney, when you have a word like that,
appropriate,
you can expand.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. That could mean anything. You know, how many
what Rick Perry
tests
should have
that mean?
Said. Susan, what Rick Perry should have said, and the man that I thought I knew would have said, would have been, you know what, hey, okay, I'm not comfortable open carrying, but that's me. If the people born in the United States of America have a right, they are born with the right to defend life, the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment is not your permit. I hear so many gun people say, oh, Second Amendment is my gun permit. No, it's not. Because remember, what the government gives, the government can take away. And when you give the government that kind of power to say, they give me permission through the Second Amendment to carry guns, then the government can say, well, you know what, I think we're going to alter the Second Amendment. We're going to take that away. No, the Second Amendment is not your gun permit. The Second Amendment is not your permission from the government to own and carry guns. The Second Amendment is a statement to the government that the people of this country, the born natural, the citizens of the United States of America, have a right to bear arms, and you, government, shall not infringe. And right now we have over 30,000 gun control laws on the books in this country, and that's 30,000 too many. Every single one of them are forms of infringement, which is in violation of the Second Amendment. So, yeah, I'm further right than the NRA. You got the left, you got the right, you got the NRA, and then way over in the far right corner is Jan Morgan with the Founding Fathers. That's where I am. I'm a no-compromise Second Amendment advocate.
That's the difference between a privilege and a right, is what
exactly.
You just described.
Which,
a privilege
which,
is like a driver's license.
Since you mentioned that, yeah, Rick Perry mentioned another statement he made was, he went on to say, we license people who drive on our highways. He said, we give them that privilege. The same is true with our concealed handguns.
Yeah, he's a little bit confused.
The privilege of carrying a gun. No, Rick, that's not the way it is. There's a difference between violence and privilege, and somebody needs to explain that to him.
And hopefully they will.
I don't know. I don't think that he's going to be a serious contender, but who knows? I know that he won't have my support. Because of that one, and I'm not just this, well, I am. Someone said, you're a single issue. Well, yes, that's the first and most important issue to me. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment? And when people in this country, when I speak at rallies, and they say, well, okay, Jan, but what can we do? You know, what can I do? I'm just a citizen. I'm not running for Congress. I'm not, you know, how am I going to affect change? What can I do in the Second Amendment front? Well, first of all, you can stay educated on the issues. Second, you need to educate your kids and your grandkids. Make sure that they are educated on Second Amendment issues and understand the importance of it and why. That is our line in the sand. That's where we draw the line and say, no government, you can't cross this one. And then we need to make sure that we're no compromise, because we keep allowing our government to add to restrictions and regulations, and pretty soon they're going to regulate us out of our rights.
Oh, yeah.
And it's happened in so many
states. Everything will be taken away.
We look at John Fossil. He's been trying. He's had his life threatened repeatedly. He produced those threats to the state of New York. He said, I want a concealed handgun permit. And he's still been denied.
So ridiculous.
Yes.
Well,
it is.
You know, I also, too, in our remaining time, we have about 18 or so minutes left. I want to spend some time talking about your YouTube video that you did on rampant injustice. Can you tell us a little bit about what that involved?
Several years ago, someone came to me and said, there is a businessman, and actually there are a number of businesses owned by conservative citizens, who have been the subject of paramilitary Gestapo-style raids by the Internal Revenue Service and Justice Department over white-collar tax issues. In other words, these are people who own small businesses where the government has come in with 40 and 50 agents with guns drawn, barreling into businesses that have not been accused of any crime and held employees at this business who have nothing to do with the tax issues of the owner of the business, but holding them at gunpoint for hours upon hours upon hours, and freezing bank accounts of these businesses. We know what happened to Gibson Guitar, but what you don't see about is all the mom-and-pop businesses around the country that have some money where the government went in, and without proving them guilty of anything, seized their bank accounts where they couldn't even make employee payroll, shut down their businesses, went in with guns pointed at law-abiding citizens who aren't involved in any way in the business side of a business, and terrorizing them. And in one of the cases, the primary case of that video, that I documented case after case after case in various states where this had happened to demonstrate that this wasn't a situation where we just had a few rogue agents who were carrying guns and decided they were going to play cowboys and, you know, This is a policy of the Justice Department. I showed where we had agents being flown in from all over the United States, you know, on little mom-and-pop businesses. And the first business, what they're doing is they're scaring these people, and these people without even being guilty of a crime. And one of them, just the main guy, the first story in my documentary, he's been cleared. It's all the accounts against him were dropped. Well, he actually, the case was tried, I think, just a couple of weeks ago. He was cleared of all of them. And yet his business is destroyed. You know, they took 85 boxes of computers and material, so he couldn't operate. They took his money from his bank account, so he couldn't pay his employees. All the while, he's not been found guilty of anything. In other words, if the government, if the IRS decides that you might have done something wrong, you are guilty until proven innocent. And it's taken years, several years, for John, I can't remember the guy's last name, but anyway, to be proven innocent, but in the meantime, his business, he's destroyed financially. And another business, rather than fight it, they just said, okay, well, what, can we just pay a fine and we just, you know, go on with our lives? We've got grandkids. I mean, one of the guys was a Green Beret and never been in trouble with the IRS in his whole life. And because he made one mistake on one paper, his business is destroyed. But you just go look at it. It's a YouTube video. It's got over 400,000 hits. It's called Rampant Injustice. And it is paramilitary Gestapo-style raids.
I watched that today, and I was really, you know, shocked and at the same time not shocked, because, you know, it did talk about having, like, and this is what was a company, the Mountain Pure Water was the name of the
right.
company, as I recall.
John Stack, and, that's the guy's name. John Stack is the owner of that business.
Right.
Yes.
And it said about 40 to 50 officers, you
mm-hmm.
know, drove up, came in there, just sort of took over the place,
mm-hmm.
detained everyone, wouldn't let anybody leave, wouldn't let anybody make phone calls, wouldn't let people answer phone calls that were coming
right.
in. And
these are minimum wage employees bottling water
right.
who have nothing to do
right.
with John Stacks and his business issues and whatever those might be. But once again, he was acquitted. He was clear of all that. But yet, you know,
mm-hmm.
his business is destroyed and his life is
destroyed.
It's destroyed,
I would imagine.
Yes.
Well, and I remember the owner's son is an attorney, and when they
mm-hmm.
were not there at the time when everybody drove in, and
right.
then when they got there, when they did eventually come in there, they weren't allowed in. The owner wasn't allowed into his business. The owner's son, who's an attorney, from what the YouTube said, he was not allowed into the business, and he
right.
said, "Well, I'm an attorney and I'm representing the business," and they
mm-hmm.
said, "Well, we don't care. We're the federal government," is what you reported on in
right.
the YouTube. And if people think, you know, that's not going to happen, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen it happen. I remember one time, this actually happened to me. I was, this was a long time ago. I was doing something for a business, and I had to go over to the building next door with somebody else to go see this man who had called in and wanted some information on our business, and he asked us to come
mm-hmm.
by and, you know, all like that. I'm riding up in the elevator with this other person, a coworker of mine, and I pressed the button, and there was a gentleman in the back of the elevator, and all of a sudden he says to me, "Where are you going?" And I looked at him and I said, "Who wants to know? I mean, like, who are
mm-hmm.
you to, I mean,
right.
you know, ask me where I'm going?" And he's like, he takes out his, you know, his badge and said, "I'm with the FBI. Where are you going?" And I told him, like, yeah, seriously, and I told him what, you know, where I was going, what suite I was going to, and he goes, "You don't want to go there." And I'm like, "I don't want to go there?" He goes, "No, you don't want to go there." So I'm like, "Okay, I guess I don't want to go there." And then that night, learned on the news that they had come in and raided that business, and there were, like, FBI all over the place, and they took out, you know, all the information, lots of boxes, and it was on the national news that night.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
They
removed
they
85 boxes and computers, all their records. I mean, John Stacks told me, he said, "Jan, once they left," he said, I "all my records, all my clients, I had nothing to work with. We couldn't
mm-hmm.
operate." And they held those, I know, over a year. So, and that's happened, and we document case after case to prove that this is not just an isolated incident, that it's happening time and time again. And what's happening is some of these mom-and-pop businesses just say, what will it cost for you to just go away and leave us alone? We're sorry
right.
we didn't file this piece of paper, you know. Okay.
Right.
And so, and the Justice Department ends up making quite a bit of money off of all these folks. So it's a sad situation. But the bottom line is all the government had to do was have one IRS agent walk into John Stacks' business with a subpoena and say, "We want all of your records. We want this, this, and this, and this," to John Stacks. He said, I would have said, "Here, I don't have anything to hide. Here's my stuff. Yes, no problem." Instead of going in with guns drawn on all these little innocent people that just work there and holding them hostage for hours upon hours and scaring them to death. You know, I interviewed those employees, about 40 to 50 employees. I interviewed all of them at these businesses I went to. We traveled. We spent quite a bit of time. And when I decided, I sat on that documentary for several months before doing it because my husband said, "Jan, you know when you do this, the government's going to come after you. Do you really
mm-hmm.
want to stick your neck out and do this?" And I sat on it for a couple of months because I was like, "Yeah, you know, I have a nice life." But I kept thinking about it, and I told him, I said, "How can I not do this? Knowing what I know, how can I not tell the American people this is going on?" And so I decided to do it. And within a week of releasing and publishing that documentary, I was audited by the IRS. Of course, I file short form because I don't have a complicated, business life. And so I was like, "Well, what are they going to do?" But they've stayed after me ever since, just constantly on me. And I'm like, "Okay, whatever. Here, you want this? Okay, here's this. Well, okay, I'll go find that. Here's that." It's just an ongoing deal with them. But I couldn't turn my back on all those people and what was happening and not expose it. So I did.
No, you have to. I mean, you can't sit by and
well, I just wanted somebody else
to
expose it. I thought, why can't Fox News do this? You know, why? Let's try. And that's what I told him at first. I said, you know what? This is a great story. This is huge. Why don't you contact Mike Huckabee? Why don't you contact Sean Hannity? Let's get somebody with Fox. We've got a really big audience. That's who needs to do this. Well, they couldn't get anybody to touch it. Nobody would touch it.
Well, that's just not surprising to me, honestly.
but
you know, I'm not surprised that they were clear, because I remember that the gentleman, the owner in the on the YouTube mentioned that, you know, when they got the warrant, the statute wasn't even filled in. You have to tell somebody why you're there and why, you
mm-hmm.
know, what are you going to take, and they didn't do that. So, I mean, it seemed like there were a lot of things that they did wrong, probably thinking, you know, this is a mom and pop, nobody's going to do anything, so we'll go in and do whatever we want to do. So,
oh, and they also audited the little production company that produced this documentary for me, that actually did the editing. They went after them, too. Those poor little guys, you know, and they were the only production company that I could find that would touch it. You know, I had approached several, and everybody was like, I can't afford to get involved in that. And I was like, really? Seriously? And, I found this one guy in Nashville, Tennessee, and he said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. And, of course, they came after him, too. He's still in business, though. He's fought it because he hasn't done anything wrong. He said, but they've made his life miserable. He's constantly having to produce this document, produce that document. Well, we think that back in 1975, you might have not wanted the paper, so we need you to find that, and where are your receipts for this, and just, you know, it can be an ongoing harassing thing, and that's what they did to him, and they're still doing it, as far as I know.
And they're still doing, they'll do it to probably anybody else that they can, they can find.
Fine.
Now, did you today, I'm going to go back a little bit to the Second Amendment, did you happen to see the West Virginia mayor? Did you watch,
I posted an article about that on my Facebook page, You know, he's supposed to be a Republican. But once again, we've got a lot of people out there who are running on the Republican ticket who are not anything near what the Republican Party once was. You know, and of course, the Democratic Party is not what it once was. They've moved so far left, and the Republican Party has, the establishment Republican Party has moved to the left as well. And I'm just thinking, we're going to have to get to the point, if we can't reform the Republican Party, then we're going to have a third party. And that terrifies people, because they say, well, we can't do that or we'll lose. And I say, okay, but, you know, at what point are we going to say enough is enough? You know,
well,
I don't want Chris
Christie.
The Republican Party keeps trying to hand us, the establishment tries to hand us Chris Christie. Well, I don't want Chris Christie. You know, we're ready for a fresh face. I want someone in there who's going to be a constitutional conservative. That's not Chris Christie. Chris Christie is tied with Islam.
Right. And for those who don't know about what I'm talking about, in that video with the mayor of West Virginia, basically what he was doing, he didn't realize the cameras were on him, and he started saying, look at those people, those Second Amendment people, those gun owners. They look at them as like sex toys. They think of them as sex toys. And he started gyrating around and saying, you know, they oiled them.
And
they
were children
on their
present. Yeah.
And there were children present. I mean, it was just
He's
amazing.
He's also known. He also went on a tirade on national television, which is also, if you look at the Blaze article, Glenn Beck's article about this, he also posted a video showing that particular guy, that mayor, going on a tirade against the NRA. And he was, you know, really anti-NRA, too. Well, you know, I don't agree with everything the NRA does. I don't agree with the background checks compromise that was made years ago. But I still support. I'm going to support most all of these Second Amendment foundations and these organizations, because they're all, you know, if we divide our base and if we nitpick them apart, then we're dividing our base, and we've got to stand together. I support the Second Amendment Foundation. I support National Rifle Association. I support Gun Rights of America, National Association for Gun Rights, USCCA. I'm involved in all of them, as well as those people. So there's where what's left of my money, that's where it goes.
Jennifer, we have just about 5 or so minutes left. I do have somebody on the line, Marty Smith. Marty, go ahead.
Oh, my God. I got on. Jan Morgan, so nice to talk to you.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
Very good. We've talked before on Facebook.
Okay.
So you may be familiar with the name.
Okay, yes.
You're the one that goes
on the Gun Cave page a lot and gets involved in the you take on the liberals, the anti-gun folks.
I think we're on the same team.
Yes, I think we are.
So I was listening to the program earlier, and I noticed there were some comments about the flight instructors for the 9/11 thing, and one of the things I've probably never discussed with you, I am a certified flight instructor. I'm an Embry-Riddle graduate, and I was working as a flight instructor in the state of New Jersey at the time, and there was a group of about five people that came in dressed in what I consider ethnic Islamic garb and started praying to the West in my office. And I was a chief pilot at the time of a very small company called Certified Flyers. And I threw them out.
Good for you.
I just didn't like what was going on. It was shortly before this. And we were later interviewed by the FBI. And I don't think much came of it. But one of the things that concerned me that hasn't been mentioned in the media much was that there was a fifth plane on the runway, and I forget the flight number, that got the ground stop order on 9/11 in Newark. And there were five people who got out shouting Arabic or Islamic phrases.
Right.
And I've never heard a news article about it, if they looked for them or what happened.
Oh, but come on, Marty. Does that really surprise you? Most of the mainstream media is going to protect and cover and hide anything related to exposing the truth about Islam, as well as the liberal left and this president, what he's trying to do to our country. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's a shame. That's a, it's a newsworthy story.
Yes, there's a lot of newsworthy items going on, things that are happening in this country that are not being exposed. But thank God that we have a lot of blogs. We have shows like Susan's. We have, there are a lot of blog sites and bloggers out there, citizen journalists who are doing a hell of a job exposing. I'm so proud of all these folks in America who are stepping up to the plate. And no, they don't have journalism degrees, but they're doing their homework and they're trying, and I appreciate that. So that, here's
and
a shout-out to all the citizen journalists out there.
I think we've become the mainstream media, you know, or we've become the media at least because we've had to. So, and I want to thank Marty for his phone call. I know that he was on there for a long time. So, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, we have a couple of minutes left. Jan, what going forward, what will you be doing? And more of the same, and tell me a little bit of what that is, or something different. What are you going to be doing as
more of the same. I'm not going to be traveling as much, Susan, because I do have this range to run. And honestly, since I wrote that article, this place has just the business, the exposure is just incredible. I mean, it's more than I can handle almost. We're getting people from all over the world who are wanting to join this range, even though they'll never step foot in the doors. They want to fill out the application. They want to join. They want to support. They want to send money. They want to order something from us. They, you know, it's like the amount of support out there is overwhelming, and I love that. I'm so excited about that. And so the traveling thing, when I'm away from this range, when people come here, we've had people walk in the doors here from Sweden, from Australia, from the UK, and when they walk in here, this is Jan Morgan's place. They expect to see me here, and if I'm off in another state doing a speaking engagement, it makes it a little, you know, I'm not here. So I'm really cutting down on the amount of travel I'm doing, but I'm still out there on social media, still on my website, and I'm still accepting some speaking engagements, just not as much. And, of course, any time I do a speaking engagement in another state, I always stay over a day and teach a gun class so that I'm still getting to teach because that is my main mission. My main mission right now is to convince every American that that gun is an essential part of his or her daily wardrobe, period. An essential part.
Nice.
And I want to help responsibly arm and train as many American citizens as humanly possible and transform them into Second Amendment advocates if they aren't already.
Well, we need you out here in California, so make this part of your trip.
California? I have not been invited to speak in California. Shock, shock.
Well, that is very shocking. Well, Jan, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for coming on. It has been an absolute pleasure. I do hope that you will come back and join us again.
Absolutely.
And talk about new things that come up or whatever. Just feel free to contact us. JanMorganMedia.com. Go there, look at everything, and we also have on the chat room, we have your Facebook page, so they can find you at Facebook.
And
Jan Morgan
be sure to
Media.
Join the Gun Cave Indoor Firing Range Facebook page.
Perfect. Okay, wonderful. All right, Jan, thank you so much, and God bless you.
You bet, Susan. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. So there you have it. What an excellent, excellent guest. I'm so glad that you were here tonight to hear that. Right after this show, you will get an archive. It should be up in just a minute or two. And just spread that around to everybody that needs to hear what Jan's message was tonight about Second Amendment Islam. Until next week, have a great week. See you back then. Bye-bye.